As many of us have probably been doing during this pandemic, especially those of us in the education field, this past week I went to a webinar. So it's an online conference. And this particular webinar was looking at the issue of racial inequalities. And during one of the talks, one of the panelists urged us to have uncomfortable conversations, to have those conversations that might make us feel a little uncomfortable. Conversations about race, about class, about equity and inequities in our society. And as she urged us to have these conversations, she made a statement that really made me think when I read the readings for this weekend. She said, "It's okay to be uncomfortable because you don't change if you are comfortable. It's okay to be uncomfortable because you don't change if you are comfortable." And I think there's some wisdom in this. And I was thinking about my own life and a little bit of a silly example. You know, this afternoon, I was laying on the couch watching some TV and I was comfortable. I didn't want to move from there for anything. And yet I started to get the stirrings of a little bit of hunger and I became a little bit uncomfortable. And that's what made me get off the couch and go to the pantry and get the chips. But as long as I was comfortable, I wasn't going to move at all. But when there was a little bit of discomfort, that's what moved me to action. That's what made me change and get off the couch. I think this is what our readings are about this weekend. It's all about being uncomfortable and realizing it's okay to be uncomfortable. Take that first reading from Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the reluctant prophet. He resisted the call when God first called him. He said, "I'm too young, Lord. I don't know the words. I don't know what to say." And he just wasn't comfortable with what God was calling him to do. Because he was called to tell the people, "You need to change your lives. If you keep living how you are, things are not going to work out well for you." And the people just could not get that message. In Jeremiah's life, there were plots to kill him. At one point, he was thrown into a cistern. And as we hear in the reading tonight, he is an object of laughter and everyone mocks him. And he even goes so far to say, "Lord, you have duped me. Lord, you are the one that got me into this mess. I didn't want to get here, but I let myself be duped, and now I am in this horrible, difficult situation." But even in the midst of all of that, Jeremiah embraces the uncomfort. He keeps proclaiming God's message of conversion. In fact, as we hear at the end of the reading, he has to say it. He tries to contain it, and yet it keeps just bursting forth. Because he knows, as difficult as it is, as much as it makes him uncomfortable, it is a message that will lead the people to God. Jeremiah is willing to be uncomfortable so that the people might change. Then we have that second reading from St. Paul. He says, "Offer yourself as a living sacrifice and be pleasing to God. Be transformed by the renewal of your minds." St. Paul, I think, is reminding us that we have to look at our lives and we have to see what needs to be changed. What mindset or what attitude, what action are we currently doing or having that might need to be changed so that we can discern God's will in our lives? And we know that anytime we do that, that can make us uncomfortable. If we have to confront our own flaws, if we have to confront our own failings, if we confront our own sinfulness, well, we don't like that. It makes us a little bit uncomfortable. And yet we know that in doing that, in examining our own lives, it can lead us to change. It can lead us closer to God. It can make us come closer to God and his will for our lives. And then we get to the gospel, and we get to Peter. You might remember that last week, Peter made his great confession of faith. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And how the tables have turned, because tonight we hear Jesus saying, get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. I think it's all because Peter was unwilling to be uncomfortable. Last week, everything was good. He was there with the Messiah and life was great. And yet this week, Jesus predicts his passion and he says, you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Peter's like, whoa, Lord, this is not what I got into this life for. Peter was willing to go back to his fishing where life was very comfortable. But Jesus says, no, 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 your life will have some uncomfort in it. And that is the message that I think Jesus gives to us. He says, you even have to lose your life and forfeit the whole world. But Jesus promises if we do that, we will find true everlasting life. That being uncomfortable, being able to wade out into a place of discomfort, one that we will be led to God. We will be led to eternal life because it allows us to look at our own lives and allow something to change in them. Something that needs to be changed, it might just happen. I think our readings invite us, even challenge us, to be uncomfortable. Because if we go into that place of uncomfort, well, that is the place I believe that we can really change. Where we can really find God, we can find new and abundant life because we find that place that the gospel calls us to. We find that place that Jesus calls us to follow him. In the life of Jeremiah, in the life of Peter, in the life of Paul, God invites them into the uncomfortable. And in our own lives, God invites us to that same place. That place where we might have to let go of our own ideas, to let go of even ourselves, to go to that place where God is leading us, to that place that the gospel calls us to, that we might follow the Lord, even if it makes us a bit uncomfortable. So I think this all leads to a question. Where is God calling you? Or where is God calling us to be uncomfortable? Or put another way, where does the gospel make you uncomfortable? Or where might the gospel make us uncomfortable? I can only really speak for myself, but my guess is maybe some of you feel the same way. The events of this past summer, the events of Wisconsin just a week ago, they make me uncomfortable, but I think it is a good thing. Because throughout the summer and this past week, it's challenged me to examine my own attitudes, my own biases, my own prejudices around race and racial inequalities. It's also made me look at maybe there are some concrete things that I need to do. Maybe there are some things in my life that I need to change so that I can live the gospel more fully, that I can follow Jesus in the path to life. It's very comfortable for me to stand up here and say, everyone is made in God's image, and we need to respect the dignity, the inherent dignity of all people. That's easy to say, and I'm comfortable saying that. But it makes me a little bit more uncomfortable when I realize maybe I have to stand up to some of these prejudices. Maybe I am called to challenge the status quo, to call out injustice, and even work to change some structures. That makes me uncomfortable because it means that I have to wade out into this place of discomfort. And yet at the same time, I know that that is what the gospel calls me to, what the gospel calls all of us to. As I was preparing for this homily, a story from my past kept coming up. When I was a young brother, I was sent down to Cincinnati, and I worked at a high school as a service coordinator. There, I did all kinds of social justice programming, and I got to tell you, I loved that job. I worked with students, and I taught the social teaching of the church and all of those good things. That was really easy. As part of this job, we were partnering with the Cincinnati Coalition for the Homeless, and I had to go and drop off some things. They're right downtown, right in over the Rhine. And as I pulled up before their offices, outside there was a group of men who were homeless and mostly people of color. And as embarrassing as it is for me to admit, I drove around the block 3 times before I could muster the courage to just go out, walk past them into the office, and deliver what I had. It's easy to say one thing, but it's a little bit more difficult when we are called to action. Now, I will say that experience really led me to examine my own life, and it led me to develop relationships with some of these individuals. It really was one of those life-changing times in my life, because I think it made me understand the gospel. The gospel is not just about giving lip service. But the gospel is about being willing to be uncomfortable. It's about willing to go out and do some action, because that's what the gospel calls us to. Sometimes we need to be uncomfortable. Sometimes we need to be that object of laughter. We need to be able to change our own lives. We need to be able to deny ourselves and take up the cross. Because we need to follow Jesus in his way of love. As Jesus said elsewhere, to bring glad tidings to the poor, to bring glad tidings to those on the margins, to those discarded by others. To proclaim liberty to captives, those who are shackled by institutions that wish to exclude them. To bring freedom to the oppressed, those who are oppressed by the sins of racism and prejudice, those who are oppressed by those things that weigh them down. We are invited by the gospel to pray and discern where we need to be uncomfortable, where we need to wade out into that place of uncomfort so that the real change inaugurated by Jesus might begin to be more realized in our own lives and in the life of all of our sisters and brothers. In 1857, on the 23rd anniversary of the emancipation of the West Indies, Frederick Douglass gave a speech, and I think part of it speaks to what I think the gospel challenges us to. He said, if there is no struggle, and we might think of uncomfort or discomfort here, if there is no struggle, there is no progress. Those who profess to favor freedom and yet deprecate agitation are those who want crops without plowing up the ground. They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the awful roar of its many waters. Doing this is not easy. It makes us uncomfortable. But Jesus promises us, he didn't promise us comfort, but he promised us life. Through the cross. St. Oscar Romero, in a sermon on the radio, I think says the same thing. That is what the church wants, to disturb people's consciences and to provoke a crisis in their lives. A church that does not provoke crisis, a gospel that does not disturb, a word of God that does not rankle, a word of God that does not touch the concrete sin of the society in which it is being proclaimed. Well, what kind of gospel is that? I know that these are difficult words to hear, but if we allow the gospel to disturb us, if we allow Jesus' teaching and example to make us uncomfortable, then I think we will begin to see change in our own lives and in the life of the world. Because we will allow the gospel and we will allow Jesus Christ to penetrate our lives and move us to action so that we will begin once again to build the kingdom of God. In just a few moments, we will celebrate the Eucharist, the memorial of the cross, the passion, the death, and resurrection of the Lord. And out of the struggle of the cross, out of the uncomfort, comes the bread of life, comes the cup of salvation. Through that, we encounter the risen Lord. Sometimes we need to be uncomfortable so that we can change, so that we can grow closer to God, so that we can find true and lasting life for ourselves and for all of the world. It worked for Jeremiah, it worked for Paul, and it worked for Peter, and it can work for us. It's okay to be uncomfortable because you don't change if you are comfortable.